Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Did you know that film buffs estimate Bill Murray spent at least 30 years inside Groundhog Day before he finally got it right? Movie trivia foe to win.
Seriously. Hey, you, guy who refrigerates your apples, you're an insane person.
Heather, I'm sorry to break it to you, but I'm that guy.
But
I do not stand with anybody who puts tomatoes in fridges, because that's insanity.
The Cure said it best when they sang, "Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday, I'm in love." It's always Friday in my mind, y'all. TGIF.
TGIF, even if it's not Friday. Let's do this. Have such a good day. Hello, world. Welcome back to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do.
Episode 226. Y'all, how's it going out
there? It's almost 227. Remember that sitcom starring Marla Gibbs?
Yeah.
It was a spinoff from the Moving On Up, Apartment in the Sky.
You know, it's vague. The memory is vague, Sarah, but I definitely watched The Jeffersons.
That was a big one in our household.
Jeffersons, yes. Yeah. Welcome to the show that unpacks the absurdity of everyday life for your entertainment. And sometimes we harken back to the 80s and talk about pop culture we grew up with. You know, we just kind of like to have a little bit of fun here and there and for an hour each week with y'all. So welcome to the show.
Yes.
How's it going?
Welcome, everybody. We hope you're doing well. You know, we're halfway through February, if that's even possible. It's almost Christmas, Heather. Yeah. I make that joke every year, and it's like...
It's almost my birthday.
It still
again.
Happens. Yeah, it's almost mine. But also,
we're in the depths of winter, all right? I mean, I felt like we were in the depths of winter in December, but 2 months later, we are deeper in the depths of winter.
Well, I assume that it has been perhaps cold and rainy where you are. I know many of us collectively are, you know, under feet of snow, depending on where you live. And, you know, others, hey, if you're, you know.
Well, apparently there isn't a lot of snow.
A lot
right
of cold,
now.
A lot of there, sleet. That's sort of the big so concern. I've heard snowstorms here and there.
Yes.
I actually, I'm still getting into the groove at the new house, you know, waking up in the morning, I still don't have curtains on my windows. So, you know, if it's 7 a.m. and I'm not up, oh, the sun will get me up. But it's not like hot, right? And this is LA, like they're, you know, during the summer, you wake up and it's
but
hot.
But at least you have sun.
Oh, yeah.
You wake up with the sun.
Oh, it's a lot of sun.
Which is so nice.
A lot of sun. But
I miss that a lot.
Yeah. But I on busy days, like when we're recording this, it just happened to be, you know, a busier than usual day where I had to more or less just camp out in the office kind of all day, you know, but Otis the dog wants to go out and do a whiz and sniff the flowers and things like that. And the first time we went around, which was right about 7, maybe a little later, you know, it's like I wear like, you know, I'm wearing like a little knit beanie and, you know, a sweatshirt, nothing crazy. Yeah, it's brisk. Like I wouldn't, if I was wearing flip-flops, I think my feet would be cold. You know, it's kind of a good barometer. The second time I went out, which was, closer to lunchtime. And maybe it was because we were also like rushing because I didn't really have time to walk him. I don't until after we're done recording this show. Just to kind of, you know, tide you over. And I got back and I was like, okay, should not be wearing a sweatshirt. I should be wearing a tube top.
It warmed up quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, it's actually funny. This morning, I was planning on having like a full work day, just like sit at my desk all day. My sister was like, let's go to Beachcomber. It's a cafe up the road. And I'm like, oh, I don't really have time to do all these things. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go against what I believe I should do. And maybe it'll be nice. And yeah, I was wearing a beanie with a hoodie over my beanie, boots, you know, rain boots, long socks, all the things. Still wearing something similar. So the sun has not come out today. But it's funny because I went to this cafe and I got my new favorite drink called the London Fog, which is essentially.
Is it a
like
long
a Earl
raincoat?
Gray. Yeah, right. Well, I was like, just call it the Humboldt Fog. I mean, might as well. But it's an established drink. It's a thing. They have it at other cafes. But it's like an Earl Grey tea, like a black tea with your milk of choice. And it's like they steep the tea and then put them do like sort of a latte sort of situation. Very, very good. Great drink if y'all have not tried it. But my point is, the owner of the cafe was there. He's not always there. I ordered my drink from him and really nice guy. He looked kind of glum. And I was like, he's normally just like a really like perky
upbeat
guy. Yeah. Very talkative, upbeat, has a big smile, you know, and he just seemed glum. And I was like, how you feeling about this weather? You getting tired of the rain? And he just was like, he like looked at me. It was almost like this relief because he
knew you understood.
Like commiseration.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, dude, let's talk. Cause yeah, I don't think I've ever really felt more, I've never lived in a place that has rained this much, like in a row for this long. And it's not just where I live. It's California. You know, the Bay Area has the same forecast, you know, as up here. So yeah, you know, I'm kind of back in that like, okay, when is this going to end again? Kind of thing, staring down another rainstorm forecast thing. But what are you going to do? It is the middle of winter after all. I mean, you got to just cozy up. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday who was my, one of my real estate agents actually had lunch with, and she's like, I love the rain. It could rain every single day. I just love getting cozy. I love being indoors. And I'm like, well, I do too. I mean, I kind of like that too. I like a good storm. I just think it's anything that's relentless. You know, sure. I don't even like 365 sunny, hot days. Like, I don't even want that.
Exactly.
So I think it's just that it's the relentlessness of anything that starts to wear you down.
Well, variety's the spice of life.
It sure is, Sarah.
And that goes to, you know, weather and food and, you know, friends and everything. I mean,
this is true. Speaking of very food, much apples. Let's unpack this just for a minute.
Let's talk about how we differ on this. Okay.
Okay. So I basically mentioned at the top of the show, like, my boyfriend refrigerates his apples. We often will buy a bag of apples together, but then when he comes home, I make sure to don't put mine in the refrigerator. I want mine in a bowl, like on the counter. I really hate refrigerated apples, and we constantly bicker about it. I know it's a personal preference, but I don't understand. Sarah, you apparently like cold, crisp apples. So tell me why you like them and how you enjoy a brain freeze and your teeth hurting when you eat them.
There's a little bit more to the story. So I'll do my best to not go on and on about it. But so when I was a kid, growing up in Sebastopol, California, apple capital of the U.S., y'all, I lived on, I mean, not my entire childhood, but the majority of it on 100 acres of apple orchard. So lots of different kind of apples. We got, I mean, not like the stupid apples, like Granny Smith stuff. Sorry for anybody who likes Granny Smith.
Stupid apples. But,
you know, like good apples, like really good. Gravenstein, Fuji, McIntosh.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so on and so forth.
Honeycrisp,
another one. I don't like too many Honeycrisps. They veer on slightly too sweet, but they're good with cheese. Anyway, I consider myself pretty well versed in the apple of our dreams. Even though when I was a kid, there were many times where, like, because my dog, I mean, the orchard was her playground. I mean, it was her yard. Mm-hmm. And my dog ate so many apples, you know, and I'd just be like, better Rosie than me. I'm so sick of apples. But because of that, you know, my mom made apple pies and apple sauce. And I mean, we did everything with these apples because they were just going to like fall off the tree and rot otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, you got to use them.
Yeah.
And they're also a delicious snack. But I don't think an apple that's been sitting in room temp is very good. Now, and this does not apply to all produce for sure, but you put an apple and maybe a grapefruit, lemon, I guess pretty much the whole citrus family, but also apples in the fridge, like it's going to last weeks. If you leave it out, I mean, I guess it depends on, I don't know, where you're leaving it out. Maybe your kitchen isn't very warm, but it's like, you're going to get a mealy apple a lot sooner.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so that's your main reason.
If you don't refrigerate it. So it's not so much that I want the apple to be freezing cold when I eat it. I just want it to be, I want to save it. I don't want the apple to go bad.
I get it. Okay, I like that reason. That's a reason I didn't even think of, okay? Because what I don't like about a refrigerated apple is, and I like that I don't mind that they're kind of cooler, but they're too cold. Like I bite into it and it hurts my teeth and I get a brain freeze. That's what I don't like about it. And they kind of change, I think they change their consistency when they're refrigerated. I find them to be a little more, I don't know. Obviously I don't want my apples to bake in the sun. I definitely
sure,
don't want that. So
right,
yeah, maybe my kitchen is
unless
cooler
you're doing
than your
like
kitchen,
a baked Alaska or something. No, I'm with you on that. And honestly, I have never found an apple to be less delicious after being in the fridge. But the point I was making earlier about tomatoes, very much the case. Mm-hmm. Some people don't care.
I agree.
I mean, a tomato that tastes sort of like water is just, I don't even want the tomato. But I love a tomato flavorful. But when you put a tomato in the fridge, and I mean, I'm not making this up. I mean, this is, any chef will tell you this. It just kind of saps the taste from the tomato.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, if it's just one ingredient in a larger dish, maybe not a big deal. Maybe you're trying to keep the tomato longer because tomatoes will also go back to nature, you know.
They will perish like on the counter.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And sometimes a tomato just wasn't what you thought it was to begin with, but no tomatoes in the fridge in my house. If someone does that, I'm like,
you're out of here.
You're out of here.
You're out of here.
I never want you to look at me again. No, I'm just kidding. But I do kind of go like, hey, let's not do that again.
Yeah, please. Yes, please. But you're kind about it. You're diplomatic. You know what else I don't like in the refrigerator? Mm. It just kind of ruins them. Even though they are so perishable that if you do keep them on the counter for too long, you really have to eat them quickly, is strawberries. But once you put them in the refrigerator, they get dry on the outside and they start to like sort of shrink.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I want to make like really good overnight oats, like oatmeal, I'm like, I can use the frozen blueberries, but like the fresh blueberries are where it's at. Like that's how you're going to have that nice, warm, delicious, fruity breakfast.
Yeah, especially when you want to spend $10 on a basket of them, which is what they cost right now. But it's not really the season. We're out of season, so that's why
$10.
They're so high in price.
But, you know,
it's crazy.
As we talk about this, Heather, I am reminded, as I always am, you know, when you're traveling with somebody, when you cohabitate with somebody, or if you just maybe have a house guest, or for whatever reason, you and someone else or multiple people are sharing a kitchen area. That is how you can really get to know somebody. And listen, I don't have it all figured out. Y'all know I talk about my weird snacks all the time. I'm eating an incredibly weird snack right now as we're recording.
Yeah,
this.
Like you're not perfect either.
Not perfect, not better, but just like, you know, the apple thing. You know, you might be like, oh, they're an apple refrigerator.
We all have our different quirks and our preferences. And yeah, like the kitchen is a good place to sort of get to know somebody. When I saw it, actually really resonated when I saw that you wrote that in the script about talking about that today. I was like, ha, yeah, I could contribute to that.
I think what sparked my, you know, the idea to talk about this is because before I lived where I live now, I was staying with my mom for about 6 months. I have not lived with my mom since I was, you know, in high school for that amount of time. Mm-hmm. You know, I've only just visited for Christmas or that sort of thing. And my mom she keeps a tidy ass kitchen. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, nobody wants like a dirty kitchen. But I mean, she will, you know, I'll like make myself a bowl of cereal, you know, grab a napkin, start walking to the dining room table, and she's already in there just like with a sponge, you know? And you know, where I'm like, Mom, oh my God. But I also noticed that with myself, with other people who are like, just leave it. And I'm like, but then that's all I can think about. Just let me do it and then we're good. But there are, you know, I've hung out with not just my mom. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus, but I know people who will be like, well, you know, let's say we had a dinner party, you know, and there's some plates, you know, the kitchen's kind of a mess, you know, the dishwasher has to be run, you know, things have to be scrubbed. Mm-hmm. We have to do that before we go to sleep. And I am not that person. I will say, you know, not every day, but on occasion, you just leave it. Do it in the morning, you know, enjoy the night, you know, don't spend the last hours of the night standing at the sink, scrubbing things. Now, again, just my opinion. I do have to do it first thing in the morning, though, because if it goes any longer than that, then I start to feel like
it gets kind of crusty.
I'm living in some like, you know, flop house. But then there are other people who are like, and these are not like people who like dirt, but they're just sort of like, I'll get to it. You know, I'm like,
have you ever met somebody that's like, I like dirt.
I mean, I actually do like dirt. I don't, you know, want to be sprinkled.
Dirt don't hurt.
You know, I don't want, you know, it to be in my kitchen all that much. But it's all just like, it's like little things. And we all have these little, I don't even think you call them quirks. It's more of just, this is the way that I am most comfortable in many facets of life.
Personal preferences. Absolutely. And like, okay, so case in point, and I brought this up on the show before, but again, last night I actually made this epic, awesome dinner last night. It was like a sauteed whitefish. It was a taco bowl. So like everything you'd put in a taco in a bowl with like cilantro rice and this yummy sauce with like jalapeno. It was so good. First time I made it. But I was like, while I was jumping in the shower, I told Elijah, I'm like, go get me like a really big like bunch of cilantro. Guess what he came back with?
What?
Parsley.
Oh, which is honest mistake.
Oh, totally.
And they look so similar. Even in the grocery store, you got to really check.
I know they do. And then, but I said, you know, smell it, like take a piece off and like smell it. But like it still doesn't register. Yeah. But then that's not maybe the best example. But like, for example, little things where, you know, my boyfriend, he's so cute. He always has, when he's cooking, he always puts one of the dish towels over his shoulder. You're constantly kind of using the dish towel, but then I'm always trying to find the dish towel and I'm like, oh, it's on his like, cause I'll need it.
I've never so once
pull
done
out another dish
never
towel.
Never once, but I know exactly what that looks like. And that's a person who feels it's comfortable cute. In the kitchen.
It's very cute. And then he actually sat down to the dinner table and it still was on his shoulder. And I like, it was very, very endearing. But then I pull out a second one and put it like, you know, on the stove rung. And then I turn around to use it a minute later and it's gone again. And it's on his other shoulder. Like, I need one of these towels. Like, you can't take all the towels.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, okay. So this was not even going to be something that I would bring up, and because I really don't think about it, but I'm with you. It's like the dish towel goes on the dish towel area. You know, for me, it's, you know, on the, you know, the rung on my oven. That's just the best place for it. In a perfect world, it would be right next to my sink. But, you know, the two are so close together, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But like, if it's not there, I'm like, where are the dish towels? Like, I could use a paper towel, but that's insanity. Where are the dish towels?
Constant. And also, I do think, you know, I will give him credit that he is definitely a better dishwasher than I am. He's really thorough. And he's a good cleaner, actually. It's kind of pretty impressive. Sometimes I'm like, he has really good strategies for cleaning certain things. Cause you know, you have pets, and I won't even tell you about my most recent disaster. I think I will. There were two. I'll only tell you about one, but I think I mentioned to you briefly that when I came home from my trip, so we flew in, and then the next day we had to drive 5 hours to come home. So it was a long trip. All good. But then that day, like that morning, my sister called and she's like, I think, you know, we might have to take Ziggy, my cat, to the vet. You know, he's basically like had explosive diarrhea for a couple days. It's been a big cleanup job. So like, I've got my sister sort of like, who's not used to having pets, and she's just kind of freaking out. And then I've got my gardener who always helps with the animals because she's so great with animals. She has a dog. She's just like an animal whisperer.
Yeah.
And so she comes to my sister's rescue and it's a whole thing. So while we're like driving up, or I'm calling the vet, trying to get an appointment, they're going to have to take him because we're not going to be here until the late afternoon. And literally to this day, my sister is still traumatized by this situation because when I came home, There was detritus all over the house. Like, just imagine footprints of stepping in your own poop and then walking all over the house.
Oh,
so I had lots of little paw prints all over everything. It was not a fun thing to come home to. I will tell you that much. Had to bring in the big guns, you know. You got Elijah to give me some strategies on how to tackle this this cleaning quandary. Y'all, let us know out there. Do you refrigerate your apples? Are you a good cleaner? Are you somebody who, I will say, I'm a bit of a person who I cook a lot. I'm not the cleanest cook. I'm not as bad as my dad was. My dad was just like a bull in a china shop. But I definitely, when I'm cutting vegetables, stuff's getting on the floor. I'm just telling you. And I'm picking up all the vegetables to throw them in the pan. And I do it over the floor. You know, I'm like pulling it over. Are things falling on the floor? Yes, they are. That's, I'm sure, a really annoying trait that I have to my partner.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not like that. It goes both ways.
That, I mean, in a perfect world, and you always hear like, here's the technique, you know, to just like be like the best person in the kitchen. It's like clean as you cook. And sometimes I'm like, but I don't want to think about that right now. I want to think about eating.
Yeah, you want to
focus. I want to focus, totally. Yeah. And it's okay if things get, you know, a little, you know, battered and beaten and there's a little splash here and there. I mean, my stove, I feel like I'm cleaning off the top of my stove a lot. And that's because while I am cooking things, you know, water is boiling over the edge. And I'm like, this is fun. You know, it's the whole point. Chaos is good. It smells good. Garlic. Yay. And then later I'm like, oh, well, I wouldn't want anybody to come over for the first time and see this nonsense. So, yeah, we're all different. We are. I have a friend who she's I wouldn't even say germaphobe because I'm not sure that that's even like a PC term for somebody who just likes things clean. But she is. I mean, she will be like hands and knees scrubbing mop out at the end of a dinner party that she has hosted. And she and her husband are like pretty prolific with that, you know, and like to the point where I end up hanging out in the kitchen being like, come on, you could do this in the morning or like, let me help. And she's like, no, I know what I want to do. I know how I want it done. You helping actually stresses me out more and I cannot go to bed like this. So I'm like, okay. You know what? We're all different.
We are. Let's, let's toast to that. We're all a very unique snowflake.
Right.
And yeah, for sure. We all are indeed. And I think there's, you know, it's hard to change your habits. It's hard to change who you are, especially as we get older. So I don't know if it's even worth it. I mean, you could try yourself. I just don't think you're going to change another person. And you have to be sensitive about it because
I mean, that's a wider conversation. We should tackle that in a future episode of like, how much can you change somebody to be the best version of the person that you want? Not necessarily what they think their best version is, because those two are,
mesh.
there's a Venn diagram if you're lucky, but sometimes there isn't. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so yesterday, I wanted to bring up Valentine's Day because it was yesterday. And a lot of people either really care about it or you don't care at all, or maybe you're just indifferent. I don't know. There's all kinds of opinions out there, which is totally fine. I don't really care that much about it. You know, these Hallmark holidays come around so quickly. It's sort of overwhelming because, you know, you see the stores change over from one holiday to the next in the drop of a hat, like overnight. It sort of overwhelms me, honestly, because then I'm like, okay, wait, who do I need to wish happy Valentine's Day to? Oh, shit, did I not? Because then you're like, there's some girlfriends. Maybe there's some people who expect it, like maybe family. You know, and then I'm just like, oh God, okay. I've got like 18 birthdays coming up next month. Okay, so yeah, yesterday I was out. I had a very busy day, a very busy work day. And usually my boyfriend is actually, he's pretty much a romantic. He's the one that usually sets up a V-Day thing. I think he's into it maybe more than I am, which I think is sweet and endearing. I like it. You know, we just got back from this trip though. So we were kind of like, ooh, I don't know if we should plan to go out a couple days from being home. We've just been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we kind of just didn't really think about it. And there's a movie we want to see that's leaving the theater today. And so we decided to go on a dinner and a movie date tonight, which today is February 15th. So we're doing a belated V-Day date.
Well, by one day, I think dinner and a movie. That counts.
Yeah, it's the week of.
Sure.
Or it's more of a movie and a dinner this time. I usually kind of like, personally, I like the Well, actually, I like the movie than the dinner. Then you can talk about it. We're doing that tonight. This topic that I wanted to talk about, we don't have to get too deep because this is, again, another thing that, you know, might take a little unpacking. And this doesn't have to do with my relationship. This actually has to do with my work life. I am definitely feeling a 3-year itch. And it's interesting with my work. And it's interesting because it is pretty much exactly 3 years since I started taking over my dad's business. Uh-huh. Literally, it's been 3 years. It's crazy. And I realize, I'm like, what is it? Like, it took me like a while to sort of realize why I'm having this itchy feeling. And I think that something, it can be a relationship, it can be anything, really. You can have an itch for, you know, maybe it's a 5-year itch or a 7-year itch or whatever it is, mm-hmm. where you're just done. And I'm not saying I'm done. I'm just saying that everything that I do now feels predictable and rote because I've been doing it for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And there's room to grow for sure, without a doubt. And I am still going in those directions. But the day-to-day problems, the week-to-week problems, the fires, the things that are coming in on a regular basis are just, I'm tired of them. Just like, this is, the excitement is worn off. And
yeah, it's like the problem solving that used to be like, well, at least this is fun and interesting, is like, no, it's just mm-hmm. the same ass problems.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same issues with my contractors. It's the same issues with the properties. And it's just starting to feel like old. And it's almost like, I think it's so interesting because nothing in life is easy, and everything takes time. I'm sorry, everything does. You know, you need to read 75 pages into a book to really give it the right chance, because sometimes you can't get into the book until
the entire book.
100 pages. Yeah. Same with like moving to a new place. You know, you need to give it a good year, if not two, like to really, you know, really make an opinion about it. So mm-hmm. you have to like put in this effort to, yep. You got to do the time. And I feel like I've done the time. I think some changes will be on the horizon for sure, because I don't want to do some of this stuff anymore. But it was just an interesting kind of epiphany, I think, when I was on my trip, where I need to shake things up a little bit again.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm a bit of a chameleon, because I think a lot of people, I don't think that everybody gets as restless as I do. I think I know more restless people than me, by far, but I think I'm sort of middle of the road restless. Mm-hmm. You know, I like a little newness and excitement and new challenges and like that kind of thing. So
yeah.
I don't know. Do y'all out there experience these types of multiple year itches? Let us know. Hyatt, have such a good day.com.
Yeah. I've talked about this before, and I think most of my, here I am sitting in my apartment that I love, that I've been in for exactly 2 months as of today. 2 months. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you mm-hmm. sign a year lease. I didn't buy it. So it's like, well, you know, you feel like you're signing up for a year, and it's anyone's game after that type thing. But yes. With a couple of exceptions, I have moved around, and partly because when I was a kid, my parents moved around a lot too. So I just always learned that that's a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But after about 2 years is always when I'm sort of like, all right, well, now that I've gotten this in exactly the shape I would like, where am I going? What's next?
Yeah. What's next?
Let's pack up and move. Totally. Spend a ton of money, get super stressed. It's just like ingrained, you know? And
it is.
There are people who live in places, maybe it's a childhood home you just never left. Maybe it's, you know, just, I don't know, another house that you've been in a long time. Maybe you're not even in a house. Maybe you're doing some vagabond type thing, but it's something that you've done for so long that you're like, no, I've figured it out. This is what I'm meant to do and where I'm meant to be. I envy that, because I would love that more than anything. I mean, part of it is, you know, you have to have a certain amount of income in order to even have that conversation with yourself, you know, as a renter. I mean, I wish I could just buy my apartment that I'm in right now, stay here forever, make some renovations based on what I would have done had it been mine in the first place, and call it a day. Can't do that. Not today, anyway. You know, I don't know. Maybe it'll be different at the end of the year. But yeah, but yeah, we're all different. Again, going back to that thing.
Yeah, it's in, I sort of envy that too, where you're like, this is the place that I wanna die here. Like, this is where I wanna be for the rest of my life. Like, I it would be nice because then you could really sink in, you know, like you could really just, you know, put in those roots, not have to look beyond the horizon all the time. I feel like I'm sort of, always looking beyond where I can't just like relax into it, you know? So I envy that too. I really do. Yeah. What do you guys like out there? Do you feel like you're one who needs to shake it up a lot, or are you happy and content where you are now? Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Heather really wants those emails, y'all. So don't.
I really don't
lead her astray.
Don't disappoint.
If you've got something on your mind, you just smash that send button, and let us know how you feel. So we haven't talked about this in a while, but I know we've talked about this on a previous episode, like years ago, because we've been doing the show for 226 episodes, everybody. You know, Heather and I have
226 years or episodes.
Sometimes it feels like 200 years, but it still has been several years. A lot of episodes in, and sometimes our conversations come up again over time.
Yeah, they do.
Well, one thing, and I again won't go on and on about this because I don't want this to become some like sad, heavy conversation, but the whole idea that, you know, not just women, but in many cases, women feeling unsafe around the opposite sex, you know, like somebody's going to catcall them walking down the street or, one of my favorite examples that I feel vindicated about, because many years ago, I remember saying, like, if a man that I don't know is walking down the street opposite of me, you know, so we're passing each other on the sidewalk and he tells me to smile, I'm going to rip his face off.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah. Very.
Yeah. You know, and people kind of go like, it's not that bad. And I'm like, you know, it happens one too many times and it actually is that bad. It's extremely insulting. Yeah. And I know you can just pretend it wasn't said, but it's like, it's a power thing. It's not because they really want you to smile. It's because they're telling you what to do and, you know, like, be more of a sexual object. It's, they're it's
look pretty.
Many layers. And then, you know, over the years, I remember, you know, other people being like, and you know what I don't like? When a guy tells you to smile, you know, smile, it'll make your day so much better. And it's like, I want to rip the head off of the rest of your body and bury it in the ocean. That's how you make me feel. And I think perhaps that's the point sometimes, you know, it's to get a rise out of a woman. Or again, you know, I'm being sort of gender specific just because, you know, this is the only experience that I've had. Anyway, this has not happened to me for a very long time. And a lot of it I felt was, well, you know, I'm not like a teenager or a, you know, super young lady anymore. And so maybe you get to a certain age and you just stop getting some of that attention because you look a little bit more like somebody's mom.
More like a man.
Yeah, right. And like that, you know, I have conflicting feelings about that in general. But as far as not getting unwanted attention, you know, that sort of overtly sexual or designed to make me feel icky and small, I'll take it, you know? And you know, in my line of work, I have noticed that as well, where I'm like, gosh, you know, it's been a long time since somebody, at least to my knowledge, like just said something like so lewd and just like creepy. But that used to happen a lot. So I think age is part of it. I also think, you know, the Me Too movement, and many others like it, you know, people call it wokeness if you want. I don't really care what the fuck you call it. But there has been a lot of, you know, like, hey, that's not okay territory to go in with a lot of my male counterparts. And when I was a lot younger, you know, those same guys or even girls might not say that, you know? They might feel a little more like emboldened to, you know, be to cross a line, you know? No matter if it makes somebody else feel crappy. Anyway, okay, so this has become a long story. I will make this short. So anyway, so I'm walking my dog yesterday and, you know, Otis the dog, big dog. So for the most part,
big doggy.
He's a big old pup and fluff.
He's a big doggy.
He's a big doggy. I mean, he's more than half my size. And, you know, we like it that way. But for that reason, I feel, especially at night, you know, not that I'm really a skittish, uncomfortable person anyway, but it's like, if I got him, nobody's going to mess with us. Or if they do, I mean, then I don't even want to know how that sentence ends, you know, but people don't. Anyway, we're walking, we're around the neighborhood, nothing crazy. And we're crossing a street and it's sort of a long crosswalk and there are other people coming our way. And it's like the time where like kids are getting out of school. So like you see like moms and obviously like the kid that they're walking home or a babysitter, you know, older sister or brother, whatever. You know, so it's like there's a certain amount of like just people of all ages. And so we're crossing the crosswalk and I see a couple of like families come. And so, you know, I'm holding Otis tight because I know especially sometimes kids will look at him and you can tell that they're afraid of him. And
yeah.
And we finally get almost to the end of the crosswalk and this guy is like just sort of stepping off of the sidewalk, you know, and looks at us. And what I try to do with anybody who will let me is make eye contact, smile, hi, good morning, or have a good day.
That's a good policy.
Yeah, just something where it's like, I see you. I'm not, you know, I'm trying to engage as a human.
Acknowledging you.
And that's actually something that I've heard is good for like security as well. To let, you know, let the person who's coming at you know, you see them. You're not, you know, fumbling through your purse or otherwise, you know, head in the clouds type thing. Anyway, so we get to this guy and who even knows how old he is? I don't know. He's a man. And I look at him. I look at him right in the eye, you know, and I do a big smile and I go, hi. And he looks at me and he like licks his lips and just like a.
Oh, no.
And I was like, whoa. Oh, my God. You know, and it's like right at the end of the crosswalk, I got my dog, you know, and my first reaction is to turn around and be like, what did you just do to me, motherfucker? You know, but no, just go, Sarah, just go. But I mean, that has not happened in so long that I was like flabbergasted. I was like,
yeah, totally.
What was that? Like this guy, you know, I'm just crossing the crosswalk, children on the other side of me, and he's just... Who even knows what he's doing with his life? And he just wants to do like weird lip smacking tongue kissings to me. What in the hell? What are we at a construction
it's
site?
It's so invasive.
And I was just like, and then I had to laugh like, wow, I guess it really has been a while since that happened. Because that used to happen like daily to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
No, and not just to me, to anybody. I mean, this is not like, oh, Sarah's so special. Very much not. Nobody wants to be special in that way.
Also, you're in the city now. I feel like it kind of happens. I mean, it the chances of it happening in the city are more often.
Oh, for sure. I'm also not in my area of LA is I am very urban adjacent, but I'm not like in like a crazy urban area myself. At least when it comes to like, oh, I'm going to walk Otis the dog for half an hour. It's like I actually sort of avoid the busier streets just for my own benefit, you know? But it was no, it was just, I've walked around this neighborhood quite a bit over the last couple of months. And listen, it wasn't like he lunged at me. He didn't, you know, he didn't do anything to me. He didn't touch me, but it was like one of those things where I was just like, oh my God, people are still doing that.
Like shocked.
Wow.
Totally. Well, yeah, it's like you're getting this like unwanted energy from like someone you don't even know. And it feels invasive. It feels like, well, wait, like you can talk at me, but I can't talk back. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're just throwing this at you. And you, what do you do with it?
Well,
it's not like you're having a conversation. There's like this back and forth.
Well, and that whole thing is, you know, I used to think about this all the time. Again, when I think... It was more prolific for a variety of reasons. But like, it's like That man did not want me to be like, oh, hey, guy, would you like to like kiss me on the mouth right now? Like, thank you for encouraging that idea in my head. It's like, that's not what anybody's going for. It's either to get you to get mad and snap and then they like laugh and kind of go like, oh, I control you, or to kind of scare you. That's kind of it, you know, like it's not meant to be like a fun thing for both parties. And that's why it has always angered me so much. It's like, it's not even that the little tiny thing is that offensive. It's just like, why would you want to make somebody feel like shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as briefly as that is, why? Why would you want to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that we kind of brought up a similar story today. And just for y'all to know out there, we don't really coordinate the show. We used to way back when we first started, we did more themed things and whatnot, but we kind of come in.
We hot, come in hot.
Know, we're like, what's
at first when you were like, we don't coordinate the show. I'm like, well, we have a rundown, Heather, but I know what you mean. We've gotten a cadence going that we just sort of like go, I know what the other person's going to, we're going to be good.
Yeah. And then we can look in the script and see throughout the day, maybe if one of us adds what we want to talk about. And obviously if there's something that is so out there, maybe we'll change it. But like, for the most part, it's a bit of a hodgepodge of things going on. But a lot of times we do sync up on stuff. And the one thing I wanted to mention that's sort of along these lines of like random strangers, you know, sort of making assumptions about you or like saying things at you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it's like, I feel like I got older overnight in a lot of ways, because I think I was sort of waiting for it. Oh God, when is it going to hit? You know, as I'm aging, but like, I'm like, whoa, like all of a sudden I'm this age and I, wow, how did that happen?
Right. You know? Yeah.
And so like recently it was actually definitely a stranger, might've been a homeless person. I couldn't really tell, but, someone, near the grocery store, this someone called me ma'am, asking for money. So maybe a homeless person, for the first time, that was the first time I could remember being called ma'am like that. And it kind of was, it's not a huge deal, but it definitely, there's a connotation that ma'am has. It's a little old lady. It's a little sterile. It's not the most sexy name, but I don't think
do you want it to get sexier, you know, in that situation outside the grocery store?
Yeah. I guess it's like, I think, but see, the alternative, which is miss, isn't great either. That has a little bit of a weird vibe to it.
What if it was Mrs.? How do you feel about Mrs.?
I don't really like that. I think
the Mrs. I think it has like, only ever bothered me because I'm like, well, you're presumpting that I'm married. Because otherwise I wouldn't be Mrs. True. Anybody, you know? I'd be Ms. or Miss.
Yeah, I think
presuming that was the word I was looking for.
Like, I feel like the French translation for Miss is like Mademoiselle, which I think is sexy and a cool thing to be called. It's in another language and in a language that's actually sexy and romantic and all these things, just sounds better, and which doesn't seem
what
fair
about madam
somehow. I think madam
sort of sounds like you're running a brothel
in terms, but kind of I think also
context is king or queen in the sense.
Context is king. It is so true. I mean, madam, I think, is just so formal. If it sounds so formal in our language, but like, you know, like madame, like, I don't know, like if I'm in France, that's what they will say. And it doesn't bother me as much, which is interesting. But also when you look at the male counterpart, like Mr. and Sir, they're kind of more neutral. It's kind of like, you know, I don't find that Mr. or Sir has as much of that weight to it that Miss and Ma'am have. You know, they're a little bit more neutral.
Growing up in
neutral
the patriarchy,
territory.
Heather. Isn't that fun?
Yeah,
isn't that
I
fun?
Know, right?
You know, I do.
Good times.
It's funny that you say this. I remember the first time I was called Ma'am. You know, maybe I was like I don't know. Yeah, like at a grocery store or a bank or, you know, something where it was formal. And I was sort of like, ma'am, what do I look like? 40? Well, I'm quite a bit older than 40 at this point. So, you know, I mean, I should be so lucky. But I also, you know, it's cultural and regional. A lot of little kids are brought up to,
for sure,
to say, you know, yes, ma'am, you know, or yes, sir, or no, you know, whatever. And I think that's super adorable and very polite, even though it's, you know, I mean, I hope I was a polite kid, but I wasn't that polite. But but yeah, it's,
I don't even love lady either. Like lady, like I'm trying to think of what I would like.
Oh, I don't think I would ever like somebody to call me lady.
No.
That sounds very like flippant, like you're nobody, you're just lady.
Yeah, and then like you get, I mean, you know, like my friends, like they call me anything from like bae or lovey or you know, cute, more like names that are like more terms of endearment. But yeah, there's something about those, there's a formality to miss and ma'am also that I think, let's move on because I think this is a bigger conversation.
Yeah.
And y'all out there, if you have thoughts, let us know. Hi at havesuchagoodday.com. I have to say too, Sarah, from our last episode, we had a lot of people write in about this a password manager situation. People were pretty passionate about it. And it was really cool to see.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to happen too.
One password being a popular option. Yeah. But password managers in general. Yeah. Yeah, real quick. And by the way, hi at havesuchagoodday.com is where you can send an email if anything on this show resonates with you. But yes, we did get a few. So let's go through these. From the Vinyl Revivalist, good name, by the way.
Great name.
Who is wary of third-party managers in general, prefers Apple's OS-level password manager that's native to Safari. Vinyl says, it's simple enough that my phone is what I consult in any situation. If I ever have a conflict with a password, I can revert to the manual method of going to a site, resetting it, copying or writing it down, input it myself in the password manager to update and be done. I'm with you, Vinyl. That's kind of the way that I rock as well. We also got an email from Stu, aka Jolly Tiki. Hi, Jolly.
Hi, Jolly.
Who uses 1Password, noting that LastPass's breach issues from the last year, and yes, you're right, they were pretty significant. Says 1Password is the way he's rocking, and also suggests Bitwarden, which I have never used.
Oh, I've never heard of that one.
I've also heard of it a little bit more in like the techie crew type.
Okay.
Type
yeah, situation. These guys seem pretty techie. And then Brian echoes Stu's sentiments about LastPass and switch to 1Password. Sometimes you have to work. This is what Brian says. Sometimes you have to work through conflicts with passwords your browser may have saved and delete them. But with 1Password, it's easy. And his iPhone actually unlocks it with facial recognition. So that's great. Flawless for him so far. Worth working through the hiccups. If you use the same password, it's not if you will get hacked, but when. Great. Straight up. Just his 2 cents. So, yeah. And we actually had more responses than this. We won't be able to go through all of them, but thank you so much for writing in. I might have to take another pass at LastPass. That was the last one I did, actually.
LastPass is what I use. And part of it is, it's not so much that I think it's the best option. It's... Well, first of all, this is how they get you. You know, I've been using it for a while.
Yeah.
I also use it in a team scenario. So for Daily Tech News Show, which I know a lot of you listen to, we have like certain shared passwords that are part of a LastPass folder. So it's just that much more incentive to just like, just use the one because I'm going to be in there anyway for other reasons. But yeah, there's no... I mean, unless you're reusing passwords all over the internet, in which case I will say you need to do better. You do have options. Yeah. I wouldn't sit here and be like, there's 1Password management way to go and everybody else is stupid. It has a lot to do with lifestyle and what you're accessing and, you know, and how much you care about all this stuff.
This is true.
But Heather, real good news. Before we say sayonara to episode 226, Gabrielle Gabrielle is a new patron of ours, and we're so happy to have you, Gabrielle. Woo-hoo. I think you're a returning one, if memory serves.
You might be a Gabby, if memory serves.
otherwise, hey, we got two Gabrielles. You know, let's collect them all.
Yeah.
And we're so happy to have the patrons supporting us every week. Just a reminder, being a patron helps you directly support the show. It's the best way, if you like what we do, to say thank you and help us keep the lights on. And we appreciate it so much in advance. If you're interested in doing that and you're not a patron yet, go to patreon.com/havesuchagoodday to find out more. Thank you to everybody who supports us, even if you're listening for free, even if you found it wherever you get your podcast, all good. Tell a friend, you know, spread the word. That helps. Everything does.
Yes. Spread the good word about Have Such a Good Day. Join our Discord. We got a great crew in there. Lots to talk about every day, all the time. So yes, we will be back next week. And in the meantime, we will stay sexy and weird. And, I will remain Heather until then.
I will be Wexy. That's weird. That's weird and sexy. It's a new thing. I'm just trying it on. You know, let's see if it sticks.
You are.
I will be Sarah until episode 227. Thanks, y'all. Have such a good day.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.